Good afternoon. Welcome to the channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. A market that turned out to be another interesting day with a lot of worries, with the highs of yesterday and the green we saw on the screen for this cattle slowly kind of ride off into the sunset because it was another trading day. Not so much. We're going to take a look at the movement on that cattle. Of course, look at the drop that happened in the grain side of the trade with a lot of influences weighing in on that. But we're going to start out looking at the livestock side in this cattle market as Kyle Bumstead joins us with Allendale. And let's look at the fact that, you know, it's been the trend. If we start out on a Monday with some higher numbers, you and I were kind of talking about this yesterday on a midday program, that usually by Tuesday into Wednesday, we're kind of flirting with that negativity. But today, they were able to hold that green in place.
That's right, Susan. First of all, thanks for having me back. Yeah, we were able to hold green all day. Yesterday, it was easier to hold the green. We had the commercial support here underneath us, and that's what kind of, you can see the spreads here. They were bull spreading the market yesterday, whereas today looked to me more like a non-commercial short covering, albeit the volume didn't really support that today, but it looked to be some non-commercial short covering anyway. It is Tuesday, and of course Tuesday is the day that they square their positions here for the commitment to traders. We did, we were able to take out last week's highs, on both, August feeder cattle and June live cattle. Those are the contracts you need to be watching here for volume and open interest. Contrary to what the rest of the industry says, we need to be watching the August feeders and the June live cattle. And pretty soon that's going to be the August live cattle. It's crazy to think here we're in the middle of April and we're going to be thinking about August live cattle here pretty soon. But, the August feeder cattle, they settled at 252.35, decent day for them, just off their highs here of 252.60. And the June live cattle settled at 175.72, just off their highs of 175.80. So decent movement here. It looks like there's a short-term bottom potentially in here. Upside targets we have here in this June live cattle contract. I'm going to go here with some key moving averages we have above us here. Obviously, the first one's going to be the 200-day moving average around that 176.30. So that's a big technical area here for us to get and take out. And then you've got that 20-day moving average on 177.36. And then there's another key moving average up here. The first one is 100-day moving average here on 176.36. The second one's going to be the 200-day moving average up around that 180.35. And I think ultimately we could get back up into that small consolidation area of 179 area up in there. We could go back and take that up there and test that 200-day moving average. So that's kind of what I'm looking at here potentially for an upside target on these June live cattle. On the August feeder cattle, kind of the same situation there on a technical standpoint here. Looking at that 100-day moving average, we come across here at 256.80. And then we've got another key moving average up there around that 263.57 area. So I'm kind of looking for these August feeders to go back and maybe test that high of 260.87.5 from the 1st of April and then decide if we've got some legs underneath this market or not. Now, recently the index has taken some pretty good hits. Today it was up about 30 cents here when the Merck updated it. So we do need this cash market here to start picking up here, Susan, as far as the feeders go. Live cattle this week, I'm going to go with the steady, maybe slightly higher call here. We potentially hit maybe a short-term hole here and right before we get to the calf fed. So I'm not saying it's ragingly bullish yet, but we maybe kind of work through some marketings here short-term.
So as you look at this and you look at the cash movement this week, and we have a cattle on feed report on Friday, do we see the typical cattle on feed report Friday where there's no cash really till after that report comes out?
I think that could be the case this week, yes. And I think a lot of people might be waiting towards the end of the week to see what this cattle on feed report says, but it's really not the best marketing strategy there is. But you did mention the cattle on feed report. The on feed number estimate is 102. Placement number estimate is 92.8, and marketing number is 89%. Now, keep in mind, these are just estimates of estimates, and when they call a feed yard, they just give them an estimate anyway. So basically, you're looking at a percentage of a moving variable here. We don't know what the end result is. We don't know how many cattle are actually out there. So, you know, it's basically a percentage of an unknown variable is what they try to guess at here on Friday. So that's what I'm looking at is potentially looking at the spreads here the rest of the week. Where does the June relate to the August at the end of the week, and where does the August relate to the October at the end of the week?
So looking at that cash movement, I wanted to get your thoughts on demand from a consumer perspective. I know we talked last week about the whole CPI thing and everything that's been weighing in, but we're now pretty much going to hit the summer grilling season. Is there concerns, or should there be concerns, about those pocketbooks and what consumers will be buying at the grocery store?
I'm concerned, but I've always been concerned about what the consumer is going to spend. I'm not the rest of the industry, but you know, when you look at the price of gasoline, it's been going up. You know, price of everything else is going up. Where do consumers start cutting? You know, beef is still a luxury item at the end of the day. We have to remind ourselves that most of us here in the Midwest, we can go right to our freezer. Not everybody has that availability there across the world. Now, I was just out in a major metropolitan area here over this past weekend, and beef is not cheap, and I did not see a lot of beef in carts out there. And a lot of those folks don't have that deep freezer out there. They can just walk out there and pick it up right out of the garage or, you know, out of the cellar there and, you know, grab some steaks out of there and just take it and run with it. They've got to actually buy it week to week. So that's a little bit of a concern, is I didn't see a lot of beef in the carts. But then again, the weather was nice. I will give it that. So it could have potentially been a grilling weekend, but we're not technically into that grilling season just yet. We've got a few more weeks yet before we hit that Mother's Day, and that's kind of what kicks off here as far as grilling season goes. So we do definitely need to keep our eyes on that, Susan.
All right, in the next 30 seconds or so, what's the one thing you want to watch for these livestock heading into the rest of the week?
Heading in for the rest of the week, I'm going to be watching the spreads here as far as the feeder cattle spreads, also watching the index and also watching the live cattle spreads here. How do we finish out the week here as far as the weekly charts? The weekly charts are still in a downtrend as far as the feeder cattle and the live cattle go. That's the weekly. The dailies may be turning up.
All right. Well, stick around, folks. We've got a lot more coming up as we get ready for the second half of today's Channel Final Bell. When we come back, we'll take a look at what's been moving on the grain side of the trade. Of course, we knew that there was a lot of negativity that was being factored into this market and a lot of outside influence as well, like the dollar. But add to it, what's going on when we see the crop progress report, and where are things moving when it comes to the lower beans that we're taking place, kind of the punchback that happened in the wheat. Chicago just couldn't seem to follow along with everybody else. We've got a lot more to look at as our second half gets ready around the corner. It's a Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed Brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as that conversation continues with Kyle Bumstead, of course, Kyle with Allendale. And we've spent the front half talking about what's been happening on the livestock side of the trade. And I think before we jump into the grain complex, as you look at the way the grains are trading, but looking at it from a livestock perspective, there's got to be a few lock-in feed opportunities going on right now.
I think so, Susan, but I think right now it's more of a hand-to-mouth type situation here until these non-commercials come in here and really start covering shorts. Now, today in the corn complex, we did see the May gain on the July gain on the hybrid September contract, and the December 24 gained a quarter cent on the March 25, albeit a little bit of lack of volume out there. I know everyone said that, you know, the rains coming across Iowa really hit this May corn and July corn, but when you look at it, December corn was down 2 cents. It took one of the biggest hits, so I'm going to say that the weather probably did affect the December corn a little bit today, but I will go back to my first point. We did see a little bit of, you know, commercial buying here. It looks like commercial buying here as far as the corn goes. Now, you know, planting delays, you know, whatever. It's still early. It's only the 15th, 16th of April here, but you know, I'm really not worried about planting delays until you get another 30 days down the road. And there's a lot of people that got a lot of corn and beans stuck in the ground. And I know the big hoopla was about the, you know, planted percentage here last night or whatever as far as corn and beans. But again, it's a percent of an unknown variable. So we don't know what we've got a percent of. We just got it. Someone made up a percent number, and that's what we've got is a percent of something. We just don't know what it is. So when you look at the planting progress, I guess, you know, when we're done planting, we're done planting. But when do we get done planting? That's the question. So as far as feed needs go, I'm just basically hand-to-mouth right now with producers in the cash market. We have seen cash basis here firm a little bit here over the past couple of weeks. But to me, that looks like it was just some end users trying to get some sources supplied here, as when the planters do really get going, they don't really have to push for it because they know not a lot of corn is going to be getting hauled when the corn planters are rolling.
So, but let's admit, I mean, right now they're wanting to grab a hold of anything, and weather seems to be the one they kind of held on to for today.
Yeah, weather is the one that they kind of held on to. Now, interestingly enough, though, if it was weather they were holding on to, Kansas City wheat was 2 to 3 higher here today, and some of this rain should be benefiting that Kansas City wheat, that hard-red winter wheat. So, you know, did it really grab onto the weather? It's a question of, I think maybe it's non-commercials, maybe selling this thing is what it looked like to me. I mean, they added their short position here last week, and it looks like they probably added again here this week, as we probably get that report on Friday. It's going to show some more selling in corn or adding back to their shorts.
All right, what about for these soybeans? I mean, like you said, beans are beans, but they've been kind of missing that export boat and a lot of others right now.
Yeah, we just don't have much here to write. Not much really to talk about in soybeans. I mean, there's really not a lot here. I mean, everybody's going to South America. We took out last week's lows in beans here on the July contract. November beans barely held last week's lows. How we did hold the lows here, but we've still got to hold that low of 11.56 here in November beans. And ultimately, if we take that out, we're probably going to go make a double bottom potentially down here around 11.25 here in that November contract. So I think if there's any moves back up towards that $12 mark, it'd probably be a really good opportunity to get something locked up here as far as new crop and old crop. If we were to bounce this thing back up here and try to test some of these moving averages above us, it'd be an area to start letting go of some old cash beans if you still have some around. It's interesting, when you talk to folks, they sold all their beans off the combine, and now you're talking to folks and saying, well, what do I do with the beans that I have left? So, that's kind of what they've got to deal with. But any rallies in beans are probably meant to be sold right now, although those charts are getting into some oversold territory short term here on the daily chart. Weekly chart isn't quite oversold yet, but that weekly chart, it would paint a nice double bottom picture if we go down and test that low in July beans of 11.40 and a half and then bounce out of there. It would be a textbook double bottom, but we haven't quite gotten there yet.
What about for the wheat market? I mean, we saw Chicago just kind of off in their own little world a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's just enough wheat in the world right now. They don't have to come to the United States for wheat, and I think we're going to deal with that. Now, Chicago has a technical target down here looking at around 537 3/4. Could make a double bottom on the chart down there, but it's in a well-defined downtrend, and it doesn't seem to be breaking that out yet. So any of the breakout we saw here on basically on Friday, that high of 588 3/4, settling back to 581 3/4, looks to me like it tried to break out and just couldn't quite get it done here on the Chicago wheat. So we're trading inside that range. Now, if we hold that low from Friday, it's probably going to be okay. If we can hold that low from Friday, which is, would be right around 557 1/4. If we can go hold that and then take out Friday's high and close above it, then yeah, it's going to be looking better from a technical standpoint. Again, that chart is not as oversold here on a weekly chart as it is on the daily chart. Daily chart is getting fairly down into some areas of support here. It's not quite oversold yet, but taking out that Friday high of 576 1/4 is going to look good if we can close above that.
All right. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Call me here at the office at 308-708-7340.
And that is today's Channel Final Bell. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not always suitable to all investors. And that is the Channel Final Bell, being brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional. Pick this up as a podcast at ruralradionetwork.com, wherever you subscribe for your free favorite podcasts. And that is today's Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.